good district conference, but it wasn't an easy district conference.
Came under conviction while I was there, and just a sense of how easily we get distracted from our real purpose in life. How easily we get distracted from the things that the Lord wants us to be about, as opposed to all of the stuff, all of the voices that call to us every single day that distracts us from what we're really here for. And so this morning I want to just take a departure from 1 Corinthians just for today and to focus again on the essentials. One of the things that you learn in missions classes is that, in fact, I think it was Ralph Winter years and years ago who came up with this rubric for understanding cross-cultural missions, and he had all kinds of different numbers and stuff, and there were different categories, M1 mission fields and M2 mission fields and M3 mission fields, and then the really hardest were the M4 mission fields, and each one of those M's represents a barrier. Now, an M1 barrier might be language, and so if I'm going to go to mission field where I don't speak the language, that's the first barrier I got to get through. But when I get there, there might be some cultural issues. You know, I'm in a completely different culture. They do not do things the way that I do. They don't process life the way I do. And so I have some cultural understanding I have to get through. M3 might be they have a different religion. In fact, their religion is opposed to my religion. And so now I have to find a language to talk about that. There may be governmental issues. There may be, you know, and so you can see how these barriers can kind of add up to create more and more difficulty for missions. And we used those designators strictly for overseas missions. We just used them to, you know, those are for those people who are going overseas. But what we fail to realize is that in our culture, we're developing more and more barriers so that culture is foreign to us. We have people who are more and more opposed to the church. We're getting more and more pushback. We're finding that we're not in an M0 culture any longer, but that we have these barriers that we have to get through and we have to deal with. And the fact is that even though you didn't go to Bible school, you didn't get your master's degree in missiology, you're called to be a missionary. You're called to this field that God has put you in. And really, it's your only purpose. You don't have any other purpose for being here. Your purpose in God's kingdom is to be the missionary where he put you, and to figure out some way to cross those barriers that keep you from being able to communicate effectively the gospel to someone across the street, or to the person at work, or to the people in your family even. And so we get completely distracted and we forget the essential purpose of why we're here and what God wants to do in and through us. And we think, we're convinced in our culture, in our church culture, that somehow this kind of work is for people who have degrees. This kind of work is for people who are specially trained. And we have this lay clergy division in our church culture, which says, well, really, I just got to send them to the pastor. If somehow I can get them to the church or get them to the pastor, then everything will be okay. He can handle that. When in reality, he's gifted you to deal with it. He's gifted you specifically to be in the place that you are, around the people that you are, to live the gospel out before them. And so I want to, as the terminology, I want to take the cookies off of the top shelf where only the educated and the deeply committed can get to. And I want to put them down and lower the bar and say, maybe you're a church planter. Maybe you're a missionary where you're at. Well, maybe you're not going to grow some mega church, but maybe you grow a little church right in your community, right in your neighborhood. Maybe people start coming over to your house for a Bible study because you ask them to. And you're not a theological expert or anything like that, but that's why you come to church, right? You come to church so that you can be trained and equipped to be a better and better missionary. That's why we come to church. That's why we gather here, so that you can get trained and equipped to actually go out and do something with what we give you here. Not just to kind of keep cramming your head full of more knowledge. So yeah, no, I understand 1 Corinthians much better now because of the pastor's sermon series. But so that you can go, you know what? There are some principles that I learned going through 1 Corinthians that I can now pass on to somebody else. I've learned it well enough, at least a few principles. I don't know the whole book as well as the pastor does, but I know some stuff now. And I'm going to take that stuff and I can give that to somebody else in whatever context. Maybe it may be a one-on-one context, or maybe you have a small group, or maybe it's just to a family member. But if you're coming and you never do anything with the training and equipping, what value is it? What value is it to come and to sing some songs that you like and to be encouraged in a way that makes you feel like you're part of the family of God, that you belong? Those are good things. But if you never do anything with it, then we become the Dead Sea, right? All inflow, no outflow. And so this morning, I just want to refocus our attention on some things. And you're going to need some pen and pencil today. Now, I mean, I know you've got something to write on because your bulletins have a little insert in there specifically designed for this. And you're going to need that piece of paper. And so grab that piece of paper out of your bulletin and find somewhere a pen or a pencil. Crayon will do. I'm not going to have you write a whole bunch. You're not taking notes, but you need to write some things down today. You're here to learn something from God, right? Okay, so we're going to write down some things that God is going to teach you today. And you're going to leave with some new perspective on what God wants to do in your life. And it's not going to be because I preach some great message to you this morning. It's because you're going to listen to God himself. And he's going to speak to you because he has something for you today. So I just want to open with some time of praise. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Okay, essential number one. The foundation for everything that you do ought to be prayer. The foundation for everything you do ought to be prayer. There ought not to be a day that you drive to work that you're not in prayer about what God is going to do that day. Not one day. There ought not to be a day that you take off from the kingdom of God so that you just kind of do whatever is necessary that day. Your employer does not set your agenda. God sets your agenda. He's the boss. So, we're going to spend some time in prayer today as well. What I want you to write down first, I want you to just write down, and maybe it's just a couple of things, maybe you just list things forever. What's God done for you? What has God done for you that you know specifically? Yeah, that was God. You might want to put at the very top, he saved me. He rescued me from the pit of hell. He saved me for heaven. He rescued my soul. And then you can go from there. You can keep writing, and but I'm going to have you add something to this list. I want you to start adding to this list, and this is much harder question. What do you believe He is willing to do for you right now in your life? What do you believe? You know, you're not. There's no question about it. You're not going, well, He might bring me this or that. You know, this thing He is willing to do for you right now. I want you to find three or four people that you're really, really comfortable with, that you know really well. I want you to get in groups of three or four of people that you know and you're comfortable with, okay? Just go ahead and find those people right now. Three or four people. You know them, you love them, you trust them. Groups of three or four. Maybe you don't love them, you don't trust them, but you know them. That's fine too. Okay? And I just want you to share these things. So go ahead and share just a couple of things that you've written down. You know, what God has done for you and what you believe He's willing to do for you right now. And I'll give you a few minutes to go ahead and share that. Thank you. to give you a couple more minutes, but make sure everybody gets to share at least one thing off of their list before we close up here. So a couple more minutes. Okay, if you just want to take the next 10 seconds to wrap things up. Okay, I want you to stay right where you're at. Don't move. And I want you to just silently, just personally, close your eyes and begin to thank the Lord for those things. Just spend 30 seconds giving the Lord thanks for all that he's done and what he is willing to do in your life. Precious Father, we take all of these prayers now that have been going up to you, and we offer them all as this offering, this pleasing aroma, Lord, of thanks and praise to you. We recognize that we have not even begun to scratch the surface. There are things, Lord, that you do on our behalf that we don't even know about. Silent things, behind-the-scenes things, Lord, that we can never know about because of how you work and how mysterious you are, but nevertheless, there's this constant outpouring of blessing in our life that we are thankful for, that we bless you for, Lord. There are things that you want to do for us that go far beyond what we wrote down today. There are things that you want to do, promise after promise after promise of the Scripture, Lord. Some of them we're even unaware of things that you're willing to do for us right now, power that you're willing to bring to bear upon our life, provision that you're willing to make, Lord, for us, healing that you're willing to give us, Lord. There's reconciliation that you want to take place between people. There's power that you want to give us to share the gospel. There is intimacy that you want to bring into our lives in prayer, Lord. There are insights in the Scriptures that will literally cause our hearts to come to life, Lord, and begin to beat with a bit of passion, there are things that you would do in a moment right now if we would just say yes. And then there's so much more. And so we give you praise for all of this. We recognize that there is this imbalance in this relationship that we have with you. And it is all weighted in your favor. And we give you the praise for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So would you admit that? That there is kind of this imbalance that God gives and gives and gives to us. And in fact, even in the things that he asks of us, there is more blessing in that. So even in our submission, even in as we say yes to God and say, I'm going to do that for you, Lord, we really, in fact, are doing it and receiving more blessing. So anytime we give anything to the Lord, he pours out immeasurably more back to us. And that's true in virtually every area of our life. And so there is this, you know, kind of, we can't outgive God, but we sure do owe him. You think you owe God? Well, and what do you owe him? Kind of owe him everything, don't we? There's nothing, we could give him everything that we own. We could give him our very lives, heart, soul, and mind, and it would not even begin to even the balance, the scales. So we come to this passage in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus is at the end. His time here is done. He's going to be caught up into heaven. There's the ascension. This marvelous ascension is going to take place, and he's going to pour out the Holy Spirit in days to come. And the church is going to come alive in a way that it never has before. We're going to see a revival that takes place. Nothing like it. Nothing like it has ever taken place. My goodness, by the time Constantine comes around, we go from a handful of people to a world now that is dominated by the Christian faith. But he has some last-minute things, just one thing that he wants to ask his disciples. Okay, guys, I've been with you for 3 years. I'm getting ready to leave. Now, here's the deal. Here's what it was all about. All of that instruction, all of that time that I spent with you, every moment of every day is leading right up to this point and this thing that I'm going to ask you to do. Every disciple gets this ask. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So this isn't a small thing. He has all authority. There is no one who trumps him. Nobody. There's no boss that you've ever had who has as much power. There's no ruler. There's no president that has ever existed who can somehow override this command. There's no financial situation that mitigates this. There's no relational problem that mitigates this. There's no loss or pain in your life that mitigates this. Nothing. All authority in heaven and earth has been given him, and he's telling us that this is what he wants us to do. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. We used to think that that meant everybody should go. In fact, Keith Green said the command here is go. He didn't understand the Greek, okay? I give him that. The command is to make disciples, not to evangelize. He doesn't tell us to evangelize. We never get commanded to evangelize, ever. We get commanded to make disciples. The thing that you are supposed to be about from the moment you come to Jesus and surrender your life to him till the day that you die, the thing that you are to be about more than anything else in your life is making disciples. Anything else that keeps you from doing that is a distraction. Everything else that you do that keeps you from doing that is a distraction. So, the go part is this kind of continuing. It's the idea in the Greek that as you go, like wherever you go. So when you leave here today, you may end up going to a restaurant, or you may end up going to spend, you know, some time with somebody, or you may, you know, be going home and waving to your neighbors. But as you go, as you do the things in your life that, you know, God has you doing, he wants you to make disciples. He wants you to be about that, so that the thing that's in your mind as you're saying hello to your neighbor is, how can I make a disciple here? What's my next step? Well, maybe today I just need to learn his name. Maybe that's the next step. That's making disciples. Today, man, instead of waving to him, I'm walking over. I'm going to shake his hand and say, hey, we've never met before. We've waved across the street for, you know, the last 50 years. But today, I want to just find out what your name is. It's a good first step. So that the next time you're praying, say, oh, there he is, Lord. What should I do today? Well, maybe you need a favor. Maybe you just want to say, hey, listen, I'm going away for the weekend. Would you just kind of keep an eye on my house for me? Something that would cause the relationship to go another step. That's making disciples. Ultimately, you're going to get to a point in the relationship where you get to tell them about who you are. Your identity in Christ is going to seep out of you to a point where they're going to notice something different, and you're going to have a chance. And you're going to be praying all along for the power of God to be released and for that moment to be very natural, so that you don't slap them down in a seat and get out your folder and begin to give your sales pitch and so you can close the deal at the end. But it's going to be something that the Lord brings about in the course of the relationship. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So part of our problem, we are American culture is an evangelistic culture, not a disciple-making culture. We just want to get people saved. Just get them in the kingdom, and then they're on their own. And so we have churches full of people who nobody ever helped them deal with the backstage stuff in their life that has caused them to be weak, that causes them to fail over and over again. Nobody's come alongside them to teach them that there are some things in their life that there are people in the church that are willing to help you with. Nobody's ever taught them that there are things that they can do to increase their intimacy with Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our purpose. It's the very thing that God has commanded us to do once we come into the kingdom. This just wasn't for the 12 disciples. This was for anybody who was going to follow Jesus. So, he promises us then. He says, I've commanded you. Right? These are all the things that I've commanded, and I want people to know that there are commands that need to be done. And one of them, the first one, is this go and make disciples thing. And then he says, by the way, you never, ever do this alone. You will never do this alone. I'm going to be with you. I will be with you. If you allow me, I will go with you every time you greet your neighbor, Every time you speak to that family member that doesn't know Jesus, every time you have to, go to the store and just smile at somebody and say, "How are you doing today?" I'm going to be there in the midst, and there's going to be those moments, divine moments, where God creates a situation and where the gospel gets to impact somebody's life, and somebody gets freed from sin. Somebody gets to come into the kingdom. So, you got your paper down there? I'm going to give you just a few moments. I want you to answer this question on your paper. How are you doing? How are you doing? If this is everything I'm supposed to be about, how are you doing with it? And you don't have to do it like me. You don't have to do it like the person next to you. It's going to look completely different, how you make disciples. But the cookies are on the bottom shelf. You get to make disciples the moment that you decide to follow Jesus. You don't have to wait. Because the minute you come to Jesus, you have a story. You have something that you can give to somebody else. I'm not going to give you very long to do that. My guess is that there's some repentance that needs to take place. And so we're going back to silent prayer again, and I'm going to be praying with you, because the whole reason we're having this sermon this morning is because I'm in a repentance mode, and I'm repenting from failing to keep these essentials before us all the time. And so I just want you to go ahead and pray, and I want you to deal with the "how am I doing" thing and say, "God, I'm not doing very well. I'm sorry. I am sorry that somehow I got distracted from the very thing that pleases you, the very thing you've asked me to do." And I'm just going to give you just a little bit to do that, and we'll keep moving. So Lord, we join our voices in saying that we're sorry. we are the church, Lord, in our culture, and even right here, our local representation, Lord, of the church in our culture, that sometimes gets so comfortable, we forget how blessed we are. We forget how much you've given to us. We forget that we owe you so much. We forget that there's blessings in obedience. today and we repent. We repent of our distractions. We repent of all of the time we spend just on us. And we ask, Lord, that you would begin to do a work in us today, that you would take our repentance and you would do something with it. You would turn us around and cause us to get back up, Lord, after the evil one somehow has convinced us that a mediocre, comfortable life is really the one worth living. And Lord, reopen our hearts and our minds to the adventure and the joy of serving you wholeheartedly, of finding ways to encourage and build up both the body of Christ and the community around us by living the gospel out in front of other people, by speaking the words of life to people when the opportunity comes, Lord, to prayerfully and intentionally go through each and every day, making ourselves available to be used by you. And so in our repentance, Lord, we don't just want to feel sorry. We want to be mobilized, Lord. And so we're asking that you help us to not take our eyes off of this. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want you to, we've got to wrap up here, but I want you to take 15 seconds of silent prayer, asking the Lord to give you passion, to help you to remember that there's a real hell, and real people are going there. It's not just an idea. People you know are going there, and unless we bring them the gospel, that's their fate. Unless we help them to understand that they do not have to reject God, that there is opportunity and invitation to actually know him and come to him, there's power in that. So unless we have a passion for that, we won't do it. As long as we remain kind of, you know, comfortable and in our own kind of little bubble of comfort, we won't get out there until we realize that the stakes are huge. There aren't any greater stakes, and that we need a passion again for the Lord to stir our hearts. And so you got 15 seconds, and then we'll keep moving here. Lord, stir our hearts. Reignite a passion in us, a passion for you and a passion for the lost. You had compassion. You looked at the crowds and you had compassion in your heart for them, Lord, because you saw that they were sheep without a shepherd, just kind of wandering, not knowing where they were going, not understanding the depth of their desperation. And so stir our hearts again, Lord. Cause us to begin to live in a sacrificial way so that some might come to know you. Cause us, Lord, to spend more time in prayer for the people you've laid on our hearts. Cause us, Lord, even to spend some time in fasting and prayer so that there might be some breakthroughs in those people's lives who seem to be more difficult, Lord. Give us the passion to do what is necessary in order to see some come to Christ and for us to make disciples and to teach them what they need to know in order to live a life of victory and joy. And we'll give you the praise for that. I want you to just keep continuing prayer and pray that he sends you someone that needs to know the gospel. And then I don't want you to stop there. I want you to pray. Not only will he send you someone, but he will cause you to go to someone. That you will go to someone who needs the gospel. And you will begin to love them in shocking ways that open their eyes up to the beauty of Christ. So you got another 15 or 20 seconds for that. Lord, I ask for everybody here that you would send them someone that just needs to hear, needs to see your love, needs to have you revealed in some powerful way by the way that we live, and that you, Lord, you would also cause us to go to somebody. There's somebody in our lives that needs to be loved in a way that would open their eyes to the gospel. And so I pray that you would help us to know who that is and for us to be obedient to that, Lord. Amen. I want you to close. We're going to just close in a time of prayer as well. But now it's time to speak out. So first of all, I'm going to ask you, we're just going to open it up for a time. And I just want you to say the names of people, okay? And you can say them all at the same time. You have to wait for everybody else. You can kind of whisper them if you don't feel like you want to speak out. But I want you to actually verbalize people that were walking with Jesus who aren't. And so we just want to spend a moment, and I want you to just say the names of those people. They used to be in the kingdom walking with Jesus, and they're not anymore. And let's just take a moment. You can close your eyes and bow your heads, but I want you to say those names out loud, and then I'll close that time in prayer. And then we'll have one other session. Lord, Nick. Mm-hmm. Lord, don't be shy. Come on. You won't got all day. I should have told you to whisper because I can't hear who's done, if we're done yet or not. But we just continue to pray for these people, Lord Jesus. There are numbers in our lives. And we can think of a long list of folks. They used to be part of a church. They used to walk with you. They used to be pursuing you. And they're just not now. For whatever reason, I don't know how they got distracted, but something happened, Lord. And they determined to go their own way as opposed to your way. And we're asking you today to pour out your Spirit upon them, to give us opportunity to draw them back into the kingdom, Lord, to draw them back into the church, into relationship with us, Lord. And now I just want you to say names. If you could, just a little bit louder so I can hear them, but just say the names of people that you know in your life. They just don't know Jesus. They don't know him. They need to know him, and you know them. So if you would just speak their names out right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. these are the names of people that we just know right now who need you. Would you stir our hearts to reach them? Give us new vision for how we can reach them. Help us to get creative. Help us to get bold, Lord. Help us to do something that we might not have ever done before. But help us in some way to build a bridge between us and them, to reach a hand over the chasm that separates us, and to draw them into our lives so that they may see at work in us the power of the gospel, the beauty and the love of Christ, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, as we close up here, what I would like for you to do, and I think this would help all of us, if on your little prayer slips each week, you could just put on there, hey, I met my neighbor today. You don't have to put your name with him, you know, but I want us to be able to hear during our prayer time, hey, we could, three people who reached out to somebody new this week, or we had somebody who had a conversation that was deeper this week, and if you would just let us know how you're doing. All of you aren't in small groups to share this with anybody, and so for some of you, this is the only small group you got. It's the only level of accountability that you have in your Christian life is here on Sunday morning. I wish it weren't that way, but that's the way it is right now. And so for you, this is where you can say how you're doing, what's going on. And then we get encouraged by that. And if we find that, we're just not getting any headway on that, then I'm going to have to pull out the hellfire brimstone messages on evangelism, or disciples making. Because we have to move on this. And not because our numbers are diminishing, not because we need to grow the church. People we love are dying. We have to do it because we love those people in our life. And maybe they go to another church. I don't care about that. I don't care where they go or what happens, as long as they get discipled, as long as they come back in the kingdom, and as long as you are playing your role in the way that God wants you to. So, we're going to go to a time of communion now. And